This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Oh, we've got more. We've got so much more to get to tonight. Let's get to this part, though, because the guy asked the question. All the LGBTQ stuff, tiny percentage of the population. Why so much control? Why so much control? Why everywhere you see? Why is it endless? Well, they're the part that cares. This is something that the right has missed for the longest time, and I'm sure I probably said similar things in the past. So have you ever found yourself saying or thinking, oh, we're the silent majority? We're the silent majority. The silent majority will rise. Well, what good does a majority do if it's silent? The communists in this country, the various communist groups, even though it's one group, the various fingers of the fist of communism, whether it's the LGBTQ stuff or the feminist tags or the climate change genocidal monsters or the BLMs, or the whoever it may be, which whatever branch of America's communist fist we're talking about, whatever finger of the fist we're talking about, they care. To their credit, they care. They care enough to burn it down. They care enough to get loud. They care enough to do the things we don't care enough to do. Percentages in numbers mean nothing. Whenever I hear the right talk about the silent majority, you know what I picture? You know what I picture? I picture 100 people with slingshots surrounding a vehicle with a couple 50 cals on it, and the people with slingshots are talking about, hey, you better surrender, you're outnumbered. No, that's not really true. They are committed to burning it down. We are not committed to stopping them. That's the bottom line. We are not. We are not committed enough. I talked to you last week about the election we just had on May 6th here in Texas. May 6th election. In my town, a critical city council position. Critical city council position was up. One that was going to decide critical things. less than 2,000 votes total. Less than 2,000 votes total. Total in the whole community. This is why people will email in, and I understand their anger, that people will email in and they'll say, Jesse, I don't know what's happening. I live in blood red Wyoming, and we're having a drag queen story hour in my town. How does this happen? They cared enough to go seize the choke points in a society in your red town. Sure, you've only got five commies in your red town, but they went out and grabbed the public library positions. They went out and took over the parks department. They ran for city council. They ran and did all the things that you and I don't feel like doing. I don't want to run for city council. I don't want to run for school board. I don't want to go do this. I don't want to go do that. I want to work. I want to go hang out with my family. Percentages don't matter. You mentioned that percentage and why they're in everything. They care. To their credit, they care enough to get loud and get aggressive. We turn the other cheek. We either don't bother or we try to be nice. We try to be as nice as, well, I do. I love everyone. I just love. It's just love, 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 and cheek turning. That's what I do. And soon, the FBI is infiltrating your church, getting ready to start taking down churches in this country because of their biblical teaching. And we're going to wake up one day stunned as to how that happened. Well, they were fighting, you were cheek turning. That's how it happened. It's not another way to put it. Dear four-eyed, balding oracle. Oh, Chris, I forgot to tell you. I might as well tell everybody now. So, you know, a few years ago, I finally broke down. The Kellys don't really go to the doctor, per se. I finally broke down and went to the eye doctor because I could no longer see the time on the oven clock. I just couldn't see it. If I was standing across the kitchen, I couldn't see it. I went and got glasses. But I don't ever wear them. Only when I'm driving occasionally and when I'm watching TV. I don't want to wear glasses. Shut up, Chris. I don't want to wear glasses. I'm not a glasses guy. And recently I've had to go get an upgraded prescription. It's prescription. Shut up, Michael. I know already, Michael. It was after 2 years or something like that. My eyes got worse and things were getting a little fuzzy again already. So I went in and I got tested again. And sure enough, I had to upgrade glasses. Something like $700 for two pair of glasses. I know. Chris, you would just go blind. Chris would get a seeing eye dog before he spent $700 on glasses. Chris said he'll never need glasses. I hope you do, Chris. I hope I'm here the day you have to go buy glasses. I can't wait to hear you complain about having to spend that kind of money. But I was there. And, you know, everyone knows by now that I don't know anything about fashion. I can't dress myself. So when you see me, I'm almost always in jeans and cowboy boots, a button-up shirt, no tie, and a sport jacket. Why? Because you can't mess that up. It's the wife said, this is what you need to wear because you can't mess this up. So when you see me and doing public events, that's almost always what I'm wearing. But I had to pick out the glasses, and the wife wasn't there. She was out raising the kids or something lame like that. I had to pick out the glasses myself. So I spent $700-some and came home with two pair of glasses. Apparently, I got the nerdiest, dorkiest, worst-looking pair of glasses ever, and I had to go back down and get new ones. It was horrible. Anyway, the guy says, how does the Shogun deal with anger and hate after listening to the commies all the time? After listening to that psychopathic mother last week talk about how her daughter is a trans because she likes veggies, I can't help but wish they'd start the Podesta experiments with her being the first one up for the unmasking. How do I deal with the anger and hate? Well, you want the honest opinion? The honest opinion is sometimes I don't do that well with it, to be honest with you. This is probably a guy thing, but sometimes I take my work home and I wish I didn't. And this is not something unique to what I do now. I've had plenty of days working construction where I would come home, it was a bad day, I was in a bad mood. I've had plenty of days selling RVs. Came home, no sales, I needed to make a sale to pay the bills. Frustrating day, frustrating customers. And I walk in the door and I'm in a bad mood. And maybe too snappy with the wife, too snappy with the kids. I would love to sit here and tell you, well, I've mastered that. And to this day, when if I let myself get too deep, you know, if I play this too much.
What drives me is my children are all queer. My eldest child is non-binary. My son is gay. My youngest is fluid. And, you know, they're my kids.
I have days where I let that get me down a lot. Now, a lot maybe not be fair, but I have days where I bring that home. And I'm a lot better now. I used to be, don't get me wrong, I don't come kicking in the door, screaming at everyone, "Where's dinner, woman? Get those kids out here so I can beat them." No, it's nothing like that. But I'll get home and I'll just be really quiet. And I'll eventually tell the wife, I just think I need to be alone for a little while. And I know that that's a guy thing. I don't know how many cops, state troopers do I have listening to the show where you've seen things on the job that human beings shouldn't see and you bring it home? How many construction guys? Ladies, I don't know how badly, I don't know if ladies struggle with it the way men struggle with it, but I know that men struggle with it, and I still struggle with it. I will tell you the way I talk myself out of it, one of the ways I get out of it is I do get alone for 20, 30 minutes and decompress. That helps me. Another thing that helps me is, okay, so our society's full of demons now, and they're tearing down everything you love and everything I love, and that sucks. We got all that. Am I going to also allow them to dominate my personal life? Just because you and I have to sit down every now and then and we have to talk about horrible, crappy stuff, does that mean that I have to ruin an evening with my family? I don't have that many evenings left with my sons. They're 12 and 14. Am I going to let this communist hag who's destroying her kids, am I going to let it affect my kids? That's part of how I get myself out of it. I don't know if that's helpful to you at all, but that's helpful to me. All right, let's talk. Let's talk about immigration. Someone wants to discuss this. Someone has a question for Chris. Book sales, the town hall, so on and so forth. Gold. Let's talk about gold. Let's talk about, forget about gold. Precious metals in general, gold, silver. You know I love them. I've always loved them. Why? I like reliability. I am a reliability guy. There's a reason I shoot a Glock instead of all the other fancy pistol options out there. I know there are nicer pistols. I'm well aware. The Glock shoots every time, every single time. That's what I love. I love precious metals because when I buy gold and silver, when I put it in my 401k or IRA, when I buy gold and silver coins to deliver to my home, I never, ever, 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 ever have to worry about that value disappearing because precious metals have always had value. You don't need me to tell you that. The history books tell you that. Go get gold and silver in your retirement. Get gold and silver coins for the reliability. We need that reliability right now. Do you believe this woman?
We've seen three bank failures this year. Two more regional banks appear to be on the edge. Do you still believe that our banking system is strong and resilient? We don't have a systemic problem?
I do believe that.
Yeah, we're in trouble. Call Oxford Gold. 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats to Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I can't believe it's Friday and I haven't even engaged.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. Hey, I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Dear Oracle, my mom's parents and dad are immigrants from Greece, so we just considered ourselves to be Greek. A few years ago, my brother took an ancestry test and discovered he's 6% Jewish, so on and so forth. I was wondering if producer Chris could suggest some simple tests I can use to collate data to determine if I'm Jewish. I would take the same test my brother took, but I don't want to spend the money. I think that person already answered the question. Chris, are there special Jewish tests out there? Do you know of any? Is there? Chris said, do you make good bagels? You know what, Chris? We're moving on from your ridiculous stereotypes. Shogun, how are sales for the book going? I have no idea. Now, hold on. I should clarify. When we first announced the book was for sale, there were so many pre-orders in the first week that the publisher reached out and said, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? So I love you guys. So that was good. But I have never thought to even ask if they were still going well. I assume they will. Look, here's something that is a source of frustration for Chris and Michael and everyone who works with me. I don't ever care about details on anything. I don't ask details. I don't care about them. I don't want to know. I don't want to know how book sales are going. I don't know. I wrote the book. I don't know if I'm ever going to write another one. I'm thrilled with the book. Is anyone going to buy it? I don't know. I hope so. We'll see. You can pre-order it at jessekellybook.com. We'll see. Dear Oracle, I got to give it to you. Everything you've been talking about the last couple months was on display at the Trump CNN town hall. Trump showed how good he is with personal, with the jokes and the banter with the audience. When asked about DeSantis and Disney, he immediately moved back to the economy and foreign policy, his strong points. He avoided taking a hardline stance on abortion, obviously trying to win back some of the female vote. It was promising for him, but eventually he's going to have to play ball on these issues once DeSantis declares. My question is, when the time comes and he's on the debate stage with DeSantis, how will he approach these issues? I don't think Trump will be able to run over DeSantis on these things like he did with whoever that CNN chick was. His name was Jacob. Okay, how do I see this playing out? The Trump and DeSantis primary, it will be fascinating to watch. And here's one of the things that I think will be fascinating. You know how I want them both to get in and compete, right? I'm not on anyone's team. I want them to fight because I want the toughest guy to emerge from that primary and go fight. So I want them to get in and start beating each other up. But there's an interesting dynamic that I've noticed so far, and I know this for a fact. I know both camps have noticed this so far. I have people in both camps. Both camps have picked up on this. Trump's people do not hate Ron DeSantis. I'm not talking about the wingnut losers you see online. DeSantis's people do not hate Donald Trump. There may be dislike there or some distrust there, but when Trump has hit DeSantis, like he'll go to a rally, you can see this a bunch. When he has hit DeSantis, the crowd goes from laughing and cheering and screaming, silence. You could hear a pin drop. Trump's people do not dislike DeSantis. DeSantis's people, for the most part, I know there are exceptions to this, for the most part, do not dislike Trump. This creates a problem for both men. It creates a real problem for both of them. If you're Trump, you have to hit DeSantis. If you're DeSantis, you have to hit Trump. You just have to be careful with how you do it. Trump screwed this up a little bit in the beginning. That's why he did it. There's a feeling out process. Trump immediately comes out and blasts him. Hey, Florida sucks. It's not even that cool. And that went over like a lead balloon. It's just people are proud of Florida. Even people not in Florida on the right, they're proud of what they've done there. So that didn't work. So you haven't heard him bring it up since. He's kind of moved on from there. It will be interesting in the debates how they attack each other, because you have to go after the other guy. They don't have the option. Neither of them are going to be able to do the I'm above it all thing. Now, Trump will be a little dirtier than DeSantis because that's his style. DeSantis will probably try to be more above it all, but he's going to have to be a pugilist too. He's going to have to fight too. It will be interesting to see how it works. The dynamic, though, remains the same. DeSantis wants this primary to be about culture war issues. That's his bread and butter. Not that he's bad on the economy at all, but he is known for that. Those are the pelts on the wall. Kids in schools, COVID stuff, Disney stuff. You're going with Ron DeSantis. If the primary is about that for you, you're a DeSantis fan. Trump wants this about immigration. Trump wants this about the economy. Trump wants this about foreign policy. So he will try to shift it that way. Who will be successful? Well, this is where it gets a lot less sexy, but it's true. Who's going to come out of that? Who's going to emerge from that? I actually have some thoughts on that. And look, it'll probably offend everybody, but I'll tell you what they are here in just a moment. But remember, the election is not in 2024. I mean, it is in 2024, but the election's tomorrow and the next day and the next day after that and the next day after that. Now that the corporate world has taken a side, we vote every day with where we spend and don't spend our money. If you have Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile, you are voting. You're voting Democrat every single day. Those companies hate you. They dump on you every chance they get. Pure Talk loves you. They not only love you, they're giving out a free Samsung Galaxy phone when you sign up for unlimited talk, text, and data right now. They share your values. Their CEO is a veteran. Their customer service, Americans who speak English. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. All right? Switch to Pure Talk. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, talking a little bit of Trump, Heavy D primary, because there was a question about how this goes down. Here's something I see happening from both candidates. For Trump, I feel like Trump is going to lean hard into two different things. One, I think, is probably a mistake, but I understand what he's doing. And the other thing, I think, will be very, very effective. The one I think is a mistake is Trump by now looks like he's going to come at Heavy D from the left on issues. Going to come at him from the left on abortion, more pro-choice than Heavy D is. Just going to come at him on the left from things. I think he feels like Ron DeSantis kind of has a lot of that far right lane locked up, so he's going to go for a different lane. I don't know that he has to do that with his record, but I feel like that's very clear that's what he's going to do. I don't know that I agree with that. There is something I think he's going to do that I do agree with. He's going to try to paint DeSantis as being an establishment stooge. Oh, he's Mitt Romney all over again. Now, if you're a DeSantis fan and you're yelling and screaming, but that's not true. Okay, yeah, it's not true, but that doesn't matter. We're talking about tactics here. We're not talking about your emotions or my emotions. We're talking about tactics. I think that'll be an effective tactic. And the reason I bring that up is I've had family members of mine say, hey, is DeSantis, is he an establishment guy? So that means it's sticking. If people are out there asking me about it, that means it's sticking. Again, take your emotions out of it. We're not talking about who you love or who you don't love. Enough of that now. Put down the pom-poms for a minute. We're just talking strategy. I think that'll be very effective. On the flip side, I think DeSantis is going to walk Trump into a big-time trap, and I think Trump is going to go charging into it. You really want to use your enemy against himself. That's old Sun Tzu stuff. I'm pretty sure that's verbatim, Chris. Anyway, but you want to use your enemy against himself. What have I been angry about? Now, set strategy aside, we're talking back. Now we're talking personal, Jesse, my own personal vote. What's the problem I've had with what Trump said so far in the primary? What have I said over and over again? How you talk about COVID and lockdowns and vaccines is a big deal for me because I believe people should go to prison for what was done to the people of this nation. Okay, if I don't get prison, which I'm never going to get that, I in the very least want some sort of ownership. I want some kind of ownership. Trump, whether he can't make himself do it or really doesn't believe it, I don't know. I'm not in the mind of the man. Trump has taken the stance, the hard line. He's dug in and he said, nope, we did everything perfectly. And the vaccine saved hundreds of millions of lives. Okay. Now, that's not going to be a popular stance with the GOP base. It's not. Trump's hardcore faithful. You people listening right now that have your Trump hat on, it's not going to shake you one way or the other. And I'm not insulting you. You have your guy. That's fine. But for everyone else, that's going to be a problem. DeSantis, I suspect, this is just I just suspect this, I don't know. I suspect he's going to walk Trump into a trap on that and challenge him on it in the debates and get Trump bragging about it. He's going to get Trump bragging about it. He's going to bring up, hey, You not only didn't fire Fauci, why did you give Dr. Fauci a Medal of Freedom? Because he did. That's something that's going to be difficult. So they each have things that, look, DeSantis is going to have to find a way to walk through this, your establishment stuff. That's going to be tough. People don't want to hear your establishment. That's going to be tough. And Trump is going to have to find a way to walk through how he handled COVID. And if he takes the, I was perfect, everything's perfect, everything was fine, that's going to be a problem. They each have traps they're going to have to navigate. Now, there's another part of this that's not sexy, and it's kind of what I tease going into it, but it is true. Remember, everything's not about debates and things they post on social media. So much of these campaigns are about ground game stuff that you don't see or I don't see. Remember last primary, the big primary, 2016, when there were all those guys in? Remember how stunned everyone was when Ted Cruz beat Trump in Iowa? How's that possible? How did Ted Cruz beat Trump in Iowa? Ted Cruz was never, ever as popular as Donald Trump, ever. Not near as many people like Ted Cruz as like Donald Trump. Not near. So how did Ted Cruz beat Trump in Iowa? That doesn't make sense. Blocking and tackling. He had a ground game there that was second to none. He had people organized, get out the vote, ready to go, locking up. We talk about communists and their choke points. He had key choke points, whereas people who control or at least have some amount of control over a percentage of the population, they're there early, schmoozing those people, locking them up. All of a sudden, Cruz stuns the world and wins Iowa. He had no business winning Iowa at all. Primaries are different, especially presidential primaries, because there's not a primary day. And it's why I've told you over and over again, no matter whose team you're on, Trump, DeSantis, undecided, ignore every single national poll. We ran a national poll and Trump's up 9,000. National polls mean nothing. Nothing. State by state polls are what matters. Now, if you see an Iowa poll of likely voters, you pay attention. A New Hampshire poll, likely voters, pay attention. South Carolina poll, Texas poll, Florida poll, likely voters. These are the polls that will matter because the primary states all vote at different times. Be very interesting. I'm excited. Everyone else is dreading it. I can't wait. I think it's great. I'm excited, Chris. Jesse Kelly, the fearless author. You must be armed to the teeth, or Chris and Michael are your bodyguards. You speak harshly about the communist Soros. You are not afraid they might come after you? I don't know how you want me to put this. Here's the way I'll put it. Yes, I'm always armed, but I'm also aware of this fact. And this is just an uncomfortable fact. If somebody wants you bad enough, they're going to send a pro and he's going to get the job done. I don't care how many Glocks you have on your waist, he's going to get the job done. But here's what else I know. I am not afraid to die. I will not leave this planet 1 second before God is ready for me to leave the planet. And when I check out, if that's tonight when I walk out of the studio, I don't want to, but if I check out tonight or 40 years from now, it's been a wonderful ride, and I've been grateful for every single day. I will not live my life worried about these people coming after me. They come after me. They come after me. Good. So be it. I believe we are put here for a purpose. We are put here for a purpose. I cannot live my life missionless. I need one. It's how I'm built. I have to have a mission. I have to have a cause of some kind. Money, it's not a pursuit for me. It's not, I don't mind money. I'm not acting like I'm some saint here, but the money and those things, those are not things that keep me going. I need, you know what keeps me going? I get an email from you that says, Jesse, you have blessed me. Jesse, I'm struggling with drinking and you helped. Jesse, you are time I get to spend with my son on the weekends. That's why I do what I do. And no amount of Soros threats will ever stop me from taking such joy in that. I am armed. If you come at me, you better be ready because I'm armed at all times. But that's the way it goes, man. If they get me, they get me. It is what it is, right? We don't worry about that. We don't spend our life worried about things like that. Die with some stories. That's all that matters. When I die, I'm going to have some stories. Here's a story. Women and children and husbands, too, they get a phone call. They get a phone call where they get a visit that mom, dad, who was a cop, they're not coming home again. That dad went to Afghanistan and now you're going to have to greet them at the base where they pull the casket off the plane and now you're never going to see them again. That's the reality of it. That's why I speak so loud and that's why I speak so proudly about Tunnel to Towers, because no one can bring dad back. No one can bring mom back, and Tunnel to Towers doesn't pretend like they can, but they can help ease the burden at least a little, paying off mortgages for people, for these Gold Star families, for these first responder families. That's awesome, man. They ask you and me for $11 a month. That's how they do what they do. Sign up to give it automatically. You'll never know it's gone. Go to T2T.org. $11 a month. T2T.org. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Just want to play you something. This is a councilwoman in Denver. And I want to play this for you in case you get disheartened, because this is what we're up against, all right? This is why, no matter what, we keep going.
I don't believe that our current economic system actually works. Capitalism by design is extractive. And in order to generate profit in a capitalist system, something has to be exploited. That's land, labor, or resources. And I think that we're in late phase capitalism and we know it doesn't work and we've got to move into something new. And I believe in community ownership of land, labor, resources, and distribution of those resources. And so whatever that morphs into, I think, is what will serve community the best, and I'm excited to usher it in by any means necessary.
By any means necessary. You have your chalk? You got your male vitality stack, fellas? Because we're up against demons. Let me play this one again. You got your male vitality stack?
What drives me is my children are all queer. My eldest child is non-binary. My son is gay. My youngest is fluid. And, you know, they're my kids.
Do you think these people are going to get tired, back off, quit? You think they're done? CHOQ.com. Natural herbal supplements. Male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks. Chocolate powder. They have everything you need naturally. 35% off subscriptions. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse gets you that 35% off the subscription. Go get it, all right? Go get it. That's what we're up against. Are you going to trust Big Pharma? Should you go to Big Pharma for all of our problems? They really did us well. Remember, by the way, how the media and Big Pharma, remember how they treated the unvaccinated?
You are the unvaccinated. You are the problem. It is the unvaccinated who are the problem, period, end of story.
The only people that you can blame, this isn't shaming, this is the truth. Maybe they should be shamed, but the unvaccinated.
It's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks.
Anyone you came into contact with will blame you.
Let's remember the monsters are around us. Let's be strong, right? Chalk, let's get to as many emails. Oh, wait, Chris, I forgot we have the soundboard back.
And now...
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Hello, Jesse. If all it takes is just a few radicals in the White House to harm this country with millions of illegal aliens, did the founding fathers of the Constitution make a mistake by giving the executive branch so much power? No. And it took a lot more than the Biden administration to bring us to where we are. Remember something. As a nation, we talk about Title 42 when it comes to illegal immigration. Title 42 was a loophole. It was basically the Trump administration saying, well, because there's a pandemic, we have to stop the illegals. A sovereign nation shouldn't need a loophole to stop illegals from pouring into the country. That's crazy. It took decades of breaking this society down before we got here. And it's fashionable to look at the founding fathers and point out all the ways they failed, or they should have included this language, or they should have said this and should have said that. And I have my own issues with it. But let's be honest. They gave us a government. They gave us a form of government that created the wealthiest empire in the history of the world. What we've had, I know we're late now and they're destroying it, but what we've had is awesome. It's something incredible. It's something to admire. You should be proud of your history. Be very proud of your history. Dear Oracle of Love, I took your advice and located a dime at church. How about that? She makes excellent sandwiches, fetches beer, and let me toss her ballet slippers, so I figure it's time for a ring. I was curious what you think of diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are growing in popularity. Does your heist squad grab them, or are they not worth your time? Do I stick with real diamonds? Says I can use his name. His name is Joel. Well, Chris would probably know more about jewelry than I would. What, Chris? But I'll tell you this. Women do not, they do not want fake diamonds. When I bought the wife a wedding ring, I wasn't poor. I was working construction at the time when I got the wife her engagement ring. So I wasn't poor, but I certainly wasn't well off by any stretch of the imagination. And I got a decent one. I thought I got a decent one. I still think it's fairly decent. She has brought up more than once, especially in recent years, that maybe it's time for an upgrade of some kind. To which I've kind of hemmed and hawed, and I was thinking, well, what about the nostalgia? But she really definitely wants a bigger one, I think. I'm getting some vibes that there's a bigger one. And at some point in time, 3 or 4 years, whatever it is, we're going to have a 20th anniversary. And man, I'm going to have to do something. I'm going to have to do what, Chris? What? Well, see, that's the problem. Chris said I'm a terrible gift giver and that'll be perfect. Yeah, but here's the problem, bud. Because I'm so bad at giving her gifts, giving everyone gifts, I have gone to a almost exclusively jewelry only gift giving thing, but that gets expensive and it gets repetitive. How many bracelets or earrings or things like that can you give her? I don't know. I'll probably just give her a pearl necklace or something. Hey, Jesse, just wondering why you left the Marines. Did you see something that you thought was wrong in what you were ordered to do? Wondering because you say you had trouble returning to civilian life. There's a lot of PTSD in military personnel. Okay, well, I already told you earlier in the show about my PTSD problems. I left the Marines. Well, when I joined, I never intended to be a lifer. I was always just going to do my 4 years and get out. So it wasn't some radical shift. And it's not like I was horrifically disillusioned by the time I got out. I was just done. I never wanted to make a career out of it. So that was really why. Dear promo code Jesse. That's not nice. You often refer to the U.S. as being a late stage republic. My question is, when did this happen? What event or sequence of events led us to becoming this way? Could it have been prevented? And can we reverse course? His name's Derek. Okay, well, it was a long sequence of events. It started with the 19th Amendment. And since then, the government has only grown and America has only grown more dependent on emotions to make their decisions. Can it be reversed? It can only be reversed with the repeal of the 19th Amendment. What, Chris? I'm just, what is that? Oh, stop. It's fine. We can make jokes on the show. I didn't even have time. I almost forgot to get to this. I almost forgot to get to this little doozy from Klaus.
The World Economic Forum is now very much engaged into this initiative of shaping a great reset for the post-corona era. Steps we are undertaking to have business leaders accepting to report on the ESGs. I think we should use this social contract as an expression of the transition of one world to another world. I think the key narrative which we should have is to move from a society which is built on production and consumption, to a society which is built on caring and sharing.
I hope you listened very closely to what he had to say there. Now forget about Klaus, forget about me. You focus on yourself and your family and your community this weekend. Put your phone down. Keep your chin up. We will be back on Monday to have a blast. I promise, okay? That's all.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.